The views and opinions expressed on this show are those of the sponsor, Connell & Company. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Good morning. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel, 850-437-1620. By request, the Rocky theme from our friends at Connell & Connell Company with Angela Sherrill, Maybin. And they have guests this morning from Pensacola Title, so with the Rocky theme in our heads. It's you, Angela. This was your choice.
Yes, it was. Good morning, everybody. I'm Angela Sherrill with Connell & Company, and my number's 850-292-3165.
And I'm Will Maben with Connell & Company Realty. You can reach me at 850-261-7020 or at willmaben.com. So good morning. Happy Thursday, everybody. And special welcome to Pensacola Title. And I get everybody looking at me like, why do I need title? This is just another person, and it's just more stuff to do, another hoop to jump through in the home buying process. But the right title people make those hoops go away. When you've got a professional on the job, they're making sure things are going right. So let me ask, why do we need title?
Thanks, Will. First of all, my name is Foz Moulton. I'm the president of Pensacola Title Company.
Welcome, Foz, to the show. Appreciate
you
being
here. And I'm here with Jessica Zink, who's one of our closers, who's been doing this a lot longer than I have. But that's the number one question everybody asks. Why do I need title insurance? And I think the easiest way to describe that is that everything before you buy your home is something that other people have been in charge of. And everything that has possibly happened to the property, people filing things, the parcel of land has been, has been in other people's hands. And the one thing we know is that if you want something done right, you got to do it yourself. Or you have somebody insure it because people make mistakes. And so the simplest way of putting it is that title insurance ensures that everything about your property is in order and has been properly done so that you own it outright. And anything that has happened in the past up until the point you buy the house or the piece of property is insured against any mistakes or issues in the past.
So that would be if somebody come along and said, hey, I own this land. They never had the right to sell it to you.
Right. Somebody's long-lost uncle says, no, Uncle Jimmy sold it to me first and not your dad. That's one example. Or somebody says, I own the top 15 feet of your property. There's a lien on your property that wasn't properly disclosed, and you now are responsible for it, and so fork over $200. $60,000, we've had one.
Wow.
And it basically is something that covers you for mistakes that have been made in the past. And that's kind of it.
And also, what a lot of people don't realize is title insurance covers you as long as you have a vested interest in the property. So let's say something happens to you and the property is passed down to your heirs. That title insurance will cover them as well. It'll cover them as long as it stays, like if it's passed down from family member to family member. The only time it will not remain on the property is if you transfer it to like an LLC or a business name. But as long as you have ownership in the property, the title insurance policy will cover you.
This is all fascinating because this is a whole area that is not my level of expertise. That's why we have the Pensacola expert panel. Clearly, the experts are in the house with Connell & Company. So we really appreciate that you brought these guests in from Pensacola Title. If you've got a question or a concern, text it in. I'm sure they'll be able to come up with an answer for you at 850-437-1620.
So Jessica and Foz, you all just gave the definition to that statement, in perpetuity, that as long as you own the property, it is insured for the amount that you have paid.
Correct.
Okay.
Okay. Yes,
and that's the and one thing to note is that title insurance, you buy it at the when you buy the property, you get title insurance, and it is a one-time premium. It's not an ongoing premium that you have to pay. You pay it at closing, and then you have that policy that covers you moving forward.
So, Jessica, can you walk us through what title looks like? Let's get a look behind the scenes here. Now, I know that I hand it over to the professionals and let them do it, and they just send me the reports and let me know that I've got a clear title and I've got a property that's ready for transfer.
Mm-hmm. I hear that expression, clear title.
Yes.
We're waiting on the clear title. That's
right.
What I just recently bought something. I was like, we're waiting for the clear title.
Absolutely.
I was like, okay, I'm going to trust you on this.
So what happens is once we get a fully executed sales contract, we send it to our underwriters and they do a title search and they go back 30 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So they're checking for liens. They're making sure that all of the deeds were properly executed. Mm-hmm. The mortgages, if there were past mortgages on the property, that they've been satisfied and released and recorded with public records, because you'd be surprised how many times that doesn't happen.
Wow.
Yeah.
I find that interesting. You would think people would be checking this every time the property is sold. No?
Yes and no, but sometimes stuff gets overlooked because our searchers are human. People do make mistakes, and that's why you want to get a title insurance policy. Because once the search is completed, they will send us what's called a title commitment. Mm-hmm. We get it and we review it, and we have a list of requirements that we are required to take care of before we can move forward with the transfer of the property. So a lot of times there's, let's say you have a very common name and you are a seller. Your name is John Smith. There's a lien against the property. Well, you've never had a lien placed against you. Mm-hmm. But it's another John Smith from the state of Georgia who, when they were looking for a way to get their money, they saw a John Smith who owned a piece of property in Pensacola. So they're attaching this $10,000 lien to this property.
Goodness.
So we have to make sure that that is not, in fact, our seller. And if it is our seller, we need to get it satisfied before we transfer the property to the new owner. So we have a list that we go through. Once that is satisfied, well, once we get the list back, we let the agents know, like, hey, guys, this is what we're doing, you know, to let them know if there's going to be any hang up or if closing is going to take a little bit longer than usual because we're working on something. But once we have that, everything's done, that's when we have the clear title and we let you guys know we're ready to move forward.
So. That is so interesting to me. So now I feel I'm really getting some education this morning. I'm really understanding a little bit better the process.
Okay, so let me ask this question. Mm-hmm. Is it required?
Well, if you're getting a loan, it's required. All lenders will require title insurance. And that's a good time to point out that there are two policies that are typically issued. One is a lender's policy, which covers the lender. The lender wants title insurance because they want to make sure that their mortgage is in first position, that there are no liens that have priority over theirs. That's why when you transfer property, it has to be free and clear of other encumbrances, so that that mortgage that, as a buyer, you get the mortgage on the property, that mortgage has priority over all the other liens. You also get an owner's policy, which covers you as the homeowner.
Mm-hmm.
So if there has been a mistake in the past or somebody does make a claim against your property, that you are covered. And a lot of people have asked, well, if I'm getting a lender's policy, how come I need an owner's policy?
Mm.
And the way title insurance works and the way it's priced is the lender's policy and the owner's policy, when combined, cost the same as the lender's policy. It's really boring stuff, but the way the premium is split between the two, there's a formula for that. But the key thing to note is that the difference between getting a lender's policy only and a lender's and an owner's policy is roughly about $100. And for about $100, it makes a lot of sense to cover yourself and not just the lender.
It's called peace of mind.
Right.
Capital P, for sure.
Right.
Also, when you're purchasing this property, if it's your forever home, you own the property, you plan on living there forever and ever and ever, your lender's policy, that expires once your mortgage is paid off.
Oh, yes.
So you want to make sure that you have your owner's title policy, so now your interest is protected, and then that way, it's just, again, like you said, peace of mind.
Right, right.
And you talked about it going back 30 years. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I want to talk about is a lot of new houses are being built today. 30-year history, we're talking about on the dirt, correct?
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. And a lot of times with that, our underwriters are requiring surveys. So we do know what we're selling is what we should be selling, okay, and not... Because legal
the property just, next
exactly.
door.
Exactly.
Oh, my gosh.
Or down the street.
And it happens.
Or, yeah.
These sound like nightmare scenarios.
Well, they're really not, because a quick solution. You know, mm-hmm. you get a surveyor to go out there, and you make sure they are surveying on the ground, measuring what's on the deed from the mm-hmm. last transfer. Because in Florida, that's how property is conveyed. It's via the legal description and not just, you know, 123 Main Street.
Right.
Because we all know that street numbers, street addresses, they can change. But the legal description, that doesn't change. So it really kind of helps secure and make sure you know what you're purchasing.
And to your point, Will, when there's a new construction, a new house, this house is, you know, 3 weeks old from the CO. Why do I need title insurance on that? Well, it's being built on a property that was bought by a developer, subdivided there, but somebody owned the land before the developer bought it. And it may have been put together with other parcels. It may have been split in by a family and sold. Part of it has been sold. It was part of a bigger parcel. And so you need the title search to make sure that the way the land has been divided has been properly done and the surveys are correct. So it's not just the previous owner that you're looking at, or the builder, who obviously the house itself, it's brand new, doesn't have anything wrong with it. But what about the land going back before the developer owned it, before the person before the developer owned it? And that's why you have to look back even in new construction.
Very interesting. Okay, I have a quick question here from one of our listeners. It said, good morning. I was wondering if the number of stories in a house affects the price, even if it's the same number of rooms. And I don't know if that affects insurance as well.
No. So premiums for title insurance are based strictly on the sales price.
Mm-hmm.
It could be raw land. It could be a three-story house. It could be a little bungalow. It's just based a condo. It's just based on the sales price, and those prices are set by the state of Florida. So, if you're buying a $200,000 piece of property, $200,000 condo, $200,000 home, the price for that title insurance will be the same everywhere in the state.
Okay, very interesting.
And then, of course, the price of the home is going to vary based on number of conditions and
location,
square footage, everything else. So,
mm-hmm. Right.
But they base theirs, and it's regulated by the state.
Yeah, correct.
Okay.
And
okay.
This is a great segue into saying, when you have a realtor, the broker cannot list property that does not have a clear title. We cannot convey.
It just couldn't be sold.
Right. So.
Well, that doesn't make any sense.
Well, you'd be surprised.
Really?
I mean, you have for sale by owner, you have wholesalers, you have all these people who are now in our market.
Well,
and
unfortunately, we have a lot of dead people, too. So, I mean, I don't know if there's a nicer way to say it, but, you know, somebody inherits a piece of property from their parents.
Who are deceased.
Correct. Mm-hmm. And mama told them they could sell the house. So they're trying to sell the house. They go to you guys. They have it listed. You don't know the background.
No.
They just say, hey, I have a property and I want to sell it. And that's, when we do our title search, that's how we find out what needs to be done in order for this house to be sold properly with clear title.
And that's a good point. When you have realtors like Angela and Will, they will come to the listing agreement and they will find out everything they can about the house, but they are not doing title searches that go back 30 years or before that if the deed's very old. They can find out everything they can find out and do and make sure that that house is ready to go, but it takes the title search to make sure that the title is clear and it can be conveyed. So what we do is really kind of back up the realtors. They do the heavy lifting of getting that listing, of marketing that house, of finding the right buyer, if they have buyers, finding the right house for them to buy. And then they sort of turn the back end, the less glamorous end, over to us, and we make sure that their clients are going to be protected, that their clients are going to buy a property that's clear, that their sellers have taken care of everything that they need to take care of, even the things they might not have known they needed to take care of, especially like Jessica pointed out, in terms of inheritance. And when it's, you know, there's a property that's been passed down to heirs, you'd be surprised at the number of things that pop up and how surprised people are that they have to take care of things.
It's amazing,
that's sort
isn't
of,
it?
Yeah, it's our back end thing that we kind of support. Our job here is to support the realtors in making sure that their clients can buy and sell the houses that they want to.
Okay.
Okay, this is Pep Talk. If you just joined us, Pensacola's expert panel on News Radio 92.3. Our hosts this morning, Connell and Company, with realtors Angela Sherrill, Will Maben, and this is a fascinating discussion about titles. And I mean, this is a whole area I don't know a thing about. And they have as their guest today from Pensacola Title, Foz Moulton and Jessica Zink. If you have questions, text them in, 850-437-1620.
Foz, Jessica, thank you so much for being here. I know you're giving a great service to our listeners. My question now is MLS. Tell me about your MLS. Now, I have my own MLS, but what is MLS to the title world?
Well, MLS is really where we find all of the good, the really fun stuff that you as a consumer, you can't really find this stuff out yourself because it's not public record. It's, you know, liens on the property. Maybe it's code enforcement that hasn't been recorded yet, but they are going to charge you $10,000 because they've paid somebody to come out and clean up the property.
Wow.
Or unpaid water bills that sometimes are very, very high from renters. Oh, MLS. I'm so sorry. The definition. It's municipal. Sorry.
And we digress.
I was so excited.
You should see her face.
Yeah, I'm so excited. It's a municipal lien search.
There
so water bills, gas bills, code violations, anything that can attach to the property and not the owner of the property. Because ECUA bills, they attach to the home.
So you mean if I'm buying a property from John Smith at 123 Main and he didn't pay his electric bill, I'm going to have to deal with an electric bill?
Well, no. Before we close, John Smith is going to have to pay that electric bill so it doesn't attach to the property as a lien.
And that is a part of what title takes
correct.
Care of for me.
Absolutely.
The behind-the-scenes stuff, that's what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
What about property taxes?
Well, that shows up on the regular title search. So any past due property taxes, even if it's several years and it's sold, we make sure that's taken care of before we transfer it.
Are you ever affected by like homeowner association fees too for
Absolutely.
Some of the condos and things?
Yes.
Sorry, everybody gave me a look.
No.
Sorry, guys.
No, homeowners associations, yes, yes.
So how does that work?
Well, anytime there is a homeowners association, we have to do what's called an estoppel. And that's a fee that the owner pays to their HOA.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty much just us making sure that they have paid their HOA dues. They are current and there's no violations.
When you say owner, you do mean the buyer at the time of, because they're the ones that's
seller.
Ordering the new
change. Seller has to.
The seller has to pay because
to
it's currently their account. So
see what I mean about behind the scenes?
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. So the seller has to pay to make sure that they are current so they can sell their property to the new owner. If there are any past due fees, we collect those at closing.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we charge them to the owner, the prior owner.
The seller.
And that way, the new owner, the buyer, is starting brand new with
a clean slate. Yes. Because often, sometimes people will pay their mortgage, but then they get behind and they say, well, I'm not going to pay the HOA fees.
Right.
And then they suddenly have a very large bill.
Right. Well, we make sure that's taken care of. So again, the property is transferring free and clear.
Well, and then also, too, just to clarify, the Homeowners Association, we have voluntary and then we have required.
Correct.
And so as a realtor, if I have a property that is in a neighborhood with a Homeowners Association, there's a document that we have to provide from the seller stating, is this a required, you know, if you buy in here, you have to be a member, or like in the neighborhood where I live, Cordova Park, it used to be required, but they didn't renew their documents and everything. So anyway, years go by and now it's considered voluntary.
Well, and our title search will let us know that as well. They'll, you know, that'll be one of the requirements, is that we're required to check with the HOA and make sure that all fees are paid, even, including special assessments.
What is the biggest mistake that you see that buyers and sellers are making when it comes to title and your and
well,
what
the biggest
the role
thing
you
I
play?
See is unclosed permits.
Oh, yeah.
That is a huge one that's out there. It's not
what
the end of
mean?
The world. The roofer. The roofer that you had come in right after the hurricane, put a new roof on your house. They didn't. They pulled the permit, but they never closed it.
Oh,
so it didn't get finaled.
Right. So it never got finaled, and that's something that we can't move forward without having everything clear. We don't want to pass that on to the new buyer. But I'll let them answer. Those are just things I see. I'm sure they see everything.
We do see that often. Unfortunately. Open permits show up way more often than they should. In an ideal world, every contractor, when they're done, goes ahead and we close the permit. Sometimes people get busy. Sometimes people forget. Sometimes people have it on their desk and it doesn't get filed. But for whatever reason, an open permit is something that does need to be investigated. We do have to go back to the contractor that performed the work. Even if it was 10 years ago, there's sort of a statute of limitations on permits. In Escambia County, actually, it's gotten a little bit confusing lately, but typically if it's over 10 years and it's open, it can be closed without the original contractor signing the affidavit, although not in all cases. But the best advice
it's
I have
difficult.
Is if you are a homeowner and you're getting work done on your house, please remember to remind your contractor to close out the permit. Typically, it's not expensive to do that. It can be a little bit of a pain to do it just because of the steps you have to take, the paperwork that has to get signed and filed, and the county has to inspect things like a roof and that sort of thing. And it's really more of a hassle than a financial strain, but it does, and it can add days to closing. You might want to close on this coming Friday, but that open permit showed up and it hasn't been taken care of, and it might be the next week.
And it's so important for them to be closed so people can, the new owners can obtain homeowners insurance. I've had a couple of deals where they've been delayed because the roofer didn't close out the permit, and nobody wants to write you a new homeowner's insurance policy.
Oh, gosh.
You know,
hate to have that be a thing that stops you when you're ready to go.
Exactly.
Well, and nobody likes delays, and they're excellent about trying to head those off at the pass, but, you know, things show up at different times. So it happens, and the last thing anybody wants to do is delay something, but the most important thing to all of us is that we're protecting our customers.
Yeah, absolutely. And when we do get that title commitment back, and we do get the municipal lien search back, we do see these things that can be hiccups. And our job at Title is to address them, let everybody know that there is an issue, and have the game plan on how to fix that so it can get done as quickly as possible so that we don't hold up closing, and that we can make sure that, hey, all those ducks get put in a row as quickly and as efficiently as possible. But, open permits will be a big one.
Okay, you're listening to Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel, with our host, Connell & Company, Angela Sherrill and Will Mabin. Their guests today are friends from Pensacola Title, Foz Moulton and Jessica Zink. We're going to be back after the news, right? Everybody's coming back?
Yes.
So if you have real estate questions, title questions, this is the place for you. 850-437-1620. Going to take a break for the news, but we'll be back on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you're a realtor, title person, you got to have some of the Rocky in you. That's what I've decided from hearing this whole conversation. It's been amazing. It's been super informative. This is Pep Talk with Meg, Pensacola's expert panel. Just to let you know, we are monitoring the current situation at Corey Station. When we have more information for you, we will be going live with a news breaking news report. So stay tuned to News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. In the meantime, this is Pep Talk. Our host today, Connell & Company, Angela Sherrill and Will Mabin, fantastic realtors in the Pensacola Market, and they brought some friends and guests that have been really informative this morning from Pensacola Title, Foz, I hope I'm saying that, Foz Moulton, yes. And Jessica Zink. So thank you for being here. And to continue the conversation, we did have a text that came in from one of our listeners that wanted to know, what was that question a bit about the, what was it we had the
survey?
The survey. How important is the survey to this real estate process?
Let's get to that real quick, but give Angela and myself a chance here.
I'm Angela Sherrill with Connell & Company Realty, and my number is 850-292-3165. And you can also reach me at buysellconnell.com.
Will Mabin with Connell & Company Realty. My phone number is 850-261-7020, or you can reach me at willmabin.com. Foz.
Okay. So we've gotten a question about surveys and how important they are. That is a very big question. I'll try and break it down into a couple of easily digestible bites.
Do you own stock in the survey company?
I do not own stock in a survey company. I'll just leave it at that.
That would just be one more form to sign at closing.
Right. Right. Another disclosure. Survey. The short answer is surveys are very important. I personally would never buy property without having a survey, and I know a lot of people who feel that way. Here's the bottom line is this. If you are getting a loan, if a buyer is getting a loan, you will need to get a survey. Now, a lender may tell you, we don't need a survey because technically they don't need to see it. However, they're going to require something called a Florida Form 9 that the title company provides because we have seen the survey. So if you are getting a loan, you will need to get a survey. You can use an existing survey or you can get a new one. I would always recommend getting a new one. but the survey will show it'll show obviously a description of the property, but it will have that legal description. And like Jessica said earlier, in Florida here, we buy and sell based on the legal description. And so that legal description that the surveyor maps out is the actual property that gets transferred. If you don't have a survey, or if you do have a survey, the title insurance policy will cover you if somebody comes along and says, your survey is inaccurate. I own some of this land. If you do not get a survey, say you're buying with cash and you don't have a lender who does not require the Florida Form 9, so you aren't technically required to have a survey. If you don't have a survey, you will not have survey protections, boundary protections in your policy, which means that if somebody comes along and says, I actually own that 15 feet of the north part of your land, you will be on the hook for defending that in court and to hire lawyers and whoever else you need to hire in order to dispute that claim. So I always recommend getting a new survey. However, if you use an old survey, if a seller has a survey, there need to be a couple of things. One, there need to be no changes. No new fences, no wall, no new poured concrete patio, no pool that's been added. It has to be the same. Everything on the property has to be the same as footprint. When the survey, the same footprint, absolutely.
Wonder if you add a generator because they're on a concrete pad.
So technically.
She may have stumped the panel.
Technically concrete. Oh, I'm going to let Jessica answer that.
If a concrete pad was used for the generator, that's something that I would send to underwriting just to make sure. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, common sense kind of says, yeah, of course, it's just a little concrete pad. But of course, to make sure you're covered in the future, mm-hmm. we want to have underwritings okay in case something does come up that they will defend your claim.
Could right. you imagine having to move that concrete pad in a generator after the fact? You just pay and put it in, and then boom, you've got to move it? Oh, no. Hey, right. Get a survey and be sure.
Right, absolutely. And I think that the most important thing there is that if you have a survey, you know you're covered. Like Jessica said, if it's a concrete pad, well, technically concrete in the ground is a structure, so the survey is not the same. The footprint is not the same. However, it's a concrete pad holding up a generator, and it is probably unlikely to affect any claims that could be made against the property. So things like that will be probably okayed, but we have to... Title insurance is insurance. It's risk management. So the company that issues the actual policy would have to have one of their risk managers take a look at it and state clearly that is okay or no, we can't do that. And that's just something that is out of our hands, but we will fight for and advocate for things that are common sense like that, just, you know, to help along the process and to make sure that that seller and that buyer don't have to go through hoops that they don't need to go through and try and make everybody's life a little bit easier.
Okay, so I've seen CDs, Altas. Why do we have the same information just written in a different format?
I think that's a political question.
This is not a political show.
No, absolutely not. It is just... we are a regulated industry. We have to follow certain protocols, just like people in other industries do. We are licensed, just like you guys are licensed as realtors. And there are rules that we have to follow. The CD and the ALTA and why they're there, the whole idea behind them is to make sure things are transparent and clear. Why there are two, it has to do with laws that have been passed.
To make sure there's extra papers to sign at closing.
And also, too.
Would be the cynic, but yes.
CD is closing disclosure.
Correct. And those are used most of the time when a lender is involved. Because according to, you know, laws, there's timing notices. The lenders are required to make sure the customer has those.
Right.
They need to have them a couple of days before closing. That way they're not surprised when they come to the table. The settlement statement, the ALTA, the HUD, that's just the basic one. We're able to use that anytime there's not a lender.
Right.
It's a lot easier to read, in my
And when
opinion.
You see a realtor that has provided you with a closing disclosure, run. Because we need to stay in our own lane.
Right.
Okay. I'm gonna have a question that just came in, which I think is relevant. I'm not sure, but I think it is. If your next door neighbor has added improvements near the property, like a new fence, et cetera, do you need to then have a new survey to ensure that their improvements haven't encroached upon your property?
Encroachments do happen, and yes, I wouldn't go new survey yet. I would, look for yourself, but let's let Title. They would be the ones that would help this fight here. Would you go with a new survey on your property, or would you tell the neighbor to buy a survey for his own property?
Well, personally, I would bring out my survey from when I purchased my property and look and see. Well, and if it's close, I would ask, like, if the new structures they built are close to the property line, I would definitely call the survey, because a lot of times you can tell who performed the survey. So I would ask that surveyor to come out and look at my property as well. I always want to be safe.
And most of the time, if you're talking to your neighbor, it may just help to get the neighbor involved and go ahead and start from the beginning. Because if there is something wrong, you're not going to hide it from them. Better to go ahead and start talking about it in the beginning and see how it can be best worked.
Right. Good relations with your neighbors is an important thing in everyday life, and certainly something like this. In our neighborhood, somebody put up a fence, and another neighbor said, "Hey, is that on the line?" And we got out two different surveys with the fence guy, and we looked and said, "Okay, it can go here." And it was a cooperative experience. if you know, a fence is one thing because it's on the property line or it's close to the property line, that's something you'd want to get checked out. If they build a pool or a shed or something, that shouldn't be an issue. If the shed overhangs the property line, that would be something that they're not supposed to do that. And that, again, that's something that you would want to discuss with your neighbor before they built a shed with a big overhang or a garage or whatever it is. But
right.
Things that they build on their property should not affect your survey. But fences, you know, fences, we call them fence encroachments. And an encroachment with a fence is just anytime a fence crosses a boundary line and it doesn't say, oh, there's a fence encroachment. That's not necessarily good or bad. It's just a fact. And typically somebody else's fence, if they build it in the right place, wouldn't affect you at all.
Right.
But then at the same time, I've seen fences that look straight, but it's a 1 inch over on your property and then an inch over on their property and an inch over on your property. And it's best to work that out with the neighbor. Usually it's a mutual fence anyway.
Yeah, 100% on that. And no fence is going to be absolutely contained. If they, you know, if you have a fence that connects with your neighbor's fence, it's going to cross the line at some point, right? We don't want to leave gaps that the dogs and cats can get through. Well, the cats will go over it anyway.
Right.
But the dogs will run free, and that's no good. So that's why. Yeah, talk to your neighbors. Be good neighbors. Be reasonable. Be kind to each other. And the fence issue shouldn't be a big one.
Thank you so much. That was a great question. So we appreciate you texting in your questions for Cannell & Company, our realtors, Angela Sherrill and Will Maben. 850-437-1620. Their guests from Pensacola Title have had, as my favorite word, a plethora of great information. We've got about 10 minutes or so left, so I wanted to give Angela and Will a chance to talk a little bit about what they do. But before we do, I also want to mention we are getting lots of texts. There is an incident at Corey Station this morning. We are currently getting an update on that incident, so please keep the folks out there in your prayers, and we will have a live update as soon as we have accurate information for you on News Radio 92.3. We are informative, local, dependable. You are listening to Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel. Our guests this morning are with Pensacola Title, who are the guests of our friends at Cannell & Company, Angela Sherrill and Will Maben. So we wanted to talk a little bit about properties, and we had a question, I believe, that was a good one.
It was a good one.
This was all about what's the status of luxury condos in Pensacola, not on the beach, but in Pensacola.
Well, they're out there, I'll tell you. And if you know the right place to look, we can help you find them. Yeah, if the question was, is now a good time to sell? Well, there's a lot more properties coming on the market. But when it comes to luxury condos, they kind of stand alone as their own competition. It's how nice is it?
Right.
Well, go ahead.
Location. Generally, what we're finding is that the luxury hotel market, if it's not on the beach, it's located in the 32503, 32502, and 1 markets, which is downtown East Pensacola Heights, kind of the ones that overlook the water. So
there's some pretty special ones in 32507, too.
That's true. Yeah. That's true.
Yeah. Not much will actually compete with the strip of land over there.
Yeah.
Speaking of waterfront and the beautiful area, we have an open house coming up on Friday that we'd love to invite all of our listeners to. Angela, tell us about this house.
It's located at 10196 Noriega Lane. It's got over 100 feet on East Pensacola Bay. It is absolutely beautiful. This house has over 3,800 square feet of living space. It is about 14 feet off the ground, so it does meet the flood requirements. And the house was built in the early 90s, and it has been updated nicely. And it needs a new owner. It's got 5 bedrooms, 5.5 baths. It's got a wonderful yellow patina. And the open house is going to be Friday from 4 to 6. And then we also are hosting an open house for the general public, for any listener who's interested, from 3 to 5 on Sunday.
It'll be great. And I will say, all those fancy words describing this house don't do them any justice once you walk in the door. Yeah. And you see that multi-million dollar view out the window.
Yeah. It is beautiful. And it doesn't have an HOA.
It does not have an HOA.
Point well taken.
And I love the fact that it's a hideaway. It's kind of secluded down to where you're not in the middle of everybody, and you don't have neighbors to your... You don't right. have people just...
And for those people who like to fish, it is a kayak away from Redfish Point. So you can imagine what people are fishing for.
Okay,
Redfish.
So what's the address again? And also, is there a place they can go see pictures?
Yes. The address is 10196 Noriega Lane, Pensacola 32514.
And you can see the listing on all of the major services, to include WillMaven.com or BuySellCanal.com. So whatever your favorite platform is, go there, check it out, and then come join us and really check out this property. The pictures, the fancy words, we can say all of those things, but...
Come see it.
When you're standing there...
It is pretty.
I'm standing in the living room and I'm thinking I could spend all of my days here and not do another thing and not feel like I've wasted a minute.
Yeah, it's really nice.
So it is one of those, I love the view there.
Yep.
So again, the open house is?
Sunday. Mm-hmm. We have an open house this Friday from 4 to 6. And then we also have an open house on Sunday, which is March the 9th. From 3 to 5.
Okay. Check it out.
Check it out.
Check
Come
it
see
out.
Us.
Be sure you get there. So we're talking this morning on Pep Talk. We're listening to Angela Sherrill and Will Maben, who are so good at details and information. And their show that they do with us, I always appreciate, because they do bring in informative guests. We've had brokers and mortgage companies. And now today we've been blessed with Pensacola Title. Y'all have done an amazing job of explaining things that I know literally nothing about. And I just bought a home. So what can I say? I mean, I defer to people like you who are the experts. And that's the nature of the show, Pensacola Expert Panel.
Well, and that's the reason professionals, and we use a professional, the
yes.
fact that you don't have to know about title.
Mm-hmm.
Jessica does.
Right.
And if I have a title question, even after the fact, on mm-hmm. my house, and I'm going to reach out and I'm going to say, hey, Jessica, you close this for me. Help. And she's going to jump into action and fix or give me an answer or at least direction of how to fix an issue.
Right. We're always happy to help. If we don't know the answer, we will find it for you.
Yeah.
I love that. You've been listening to Will Maben with Cannell & Company Realty. my phone number is 850-261-7020, or you can meet me at willmaben.com. And
Angela Sherrill at Cannell & Company Realty, and my number is 850-292-3165. Find me at buysellcannell.com.
And what about Pensacola Title? I'm guessing you might have a website or some phone numbers?
We do. We are located downtown Pensacola on Palafox Street.
And parking is paid there.
There is paid parking there. We will pay it for our clients
they
who
validate.
Come in. We will validate for you. Our website is PensacolaTitle.com. And the main number to our office is 850-361-2289. And you can call in and ask for Jessica. You can ask for any of our closers for any of the questions that you might have. There's 10 of us there, and I think we added it up the other day. We have about 200 years of experience in the industry.
Wow.
So there's very little that we have not seen. And very few questions we don't know the answer to. But like Jessica said, if you come up with one that stumps us, we are going to find the answer and help you figure out what that is.
That's fantastic. That's fantastic.
I think, Will, I think you had a question or...
Well, mine is certainly a stumping question. What is the public body? Yeah, that is listed in our contract. And, you know, there's a place where, well, does the seller pay? Does the buyer pay? Does it revert to the buyer after the sale? We've been working on this question for a minute and just how to find it. But I think I actually got an answer on what the public body is. Foz, would you like to?
Yeah, briefly, the public body is easier to answer with an example. So let's say the municipality, the county, or the city is putting in sidewalks, or they're making a road improvement that's going to change you know, they're turning a stop sign into a traffic circle, something like that. That is the public body that is making improvements. Now, if there is an assessment or a fee or a split cost with homeowners in the area, typically that cost would be paid by the person who owns the property at the time that that cost is approved, and that is usually the way it works. The one thing and something that Will and I have been working on for a little while is there a place to find out where these things are happening? And the best short answer is go to the city website, the county website, look at current projects. If you are looking at a couple of different municipalities, there are going to be multiple stops that you have to make. But between homeowners, between realtors, and between title, we should be able to come up with the answer.
Fantastic. Thank you for being here today, Pensacola Title.
All right.
Thank you for having us.
So one last time, the information for Angela and Will.
I'm Angela Sherrill with Connell & Company Realty, and my number is 850-292-3165, and you can find me at buysellconnell.com.
Will Maben with Connell & Company Realty. My phone number is 850-261-7020. You can reach me at willmaben.com.
Very good. Thank you so much for hosting the show today, both Angela and Will. We really appreciate you doing this with us, with Connell & Company, and you've got all the information to contact them. We appreciate our friends from Pensacola Title who've been here filling in the gaps. If you didn't take notes, you can rehear this broadcast on our page, our homepage at newsradio923.com under Pensacola Expert Panel. The podcast will be there.